is only in his word. In James chapter 4, James asks us a very probing question. For what is your life? He then answers that question and says our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. To impress upon our minds the fact that our lives are so short, this lesson is devoted to that very theme. We're going to look into the Word of God, and we're going to consider some passages that tell us about the brevity of life. I urge all of us to think about these things very carefully, to realize that our life is so short. For what is your life? Well, James says it's like a vapor. A vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James 4 and verse 14. In Acts 2 and verse 19, the writer talks about vapor of smoke. And it's in a different context. I recognize that. But think about vapor of smoke. I'd urge you to try this sometime, to light a candle and then blow it out. And you'll see a little trickle of smoke that will come up for a few seconds. It's time to do some soul searching. That describes our lives as a vapor of smoke. For what is your life? It's swifter than a weaver's shuttle. That's what Job said in Job chapter 7 and verse 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. If you've ever seen a weaver's shuttle, it moves pretty fast, doesn't it? It's hard to keep up with because it's so rapid. Well, the thread of our lives are like that in a way, because the thread of our lives will come out someday. Our lives might consist of a few years or many years, but one thing is certain. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. We all have that unavoidable appointment that we have to keep. So we need to live our lives as if we are seeing the shuttle for the last time, don't we? For what is your life? It's like the wind. In Job 7 and verse 7, Job the patriarch said, "Oh, remember that my life is wind." The psalmist expressed similar thoughts in Psalm 78 and verse 39. He describes life as a wind that passeth away and cometh not. I think we've all experienced a windy day. What's a windy day usually followed by? A calm day where there's no wind. So what are my priorities in life? Do I even think about priorities? Well, that's something that we all need to consider. For what is your life? It is as a shadow. Again, Job expresses it like this in Job 8 and verse 9. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. Later on in chapter 14 and verse 2, he describes the shadow as he fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. That's what our life is. About the time we cast a shadow, what happens? The sun changes its position in the sky and our shadow is changed or maybe even gone. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, it is said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 15. You might think of a shadow like a sundial. In 2 Kings 20, when Hezekiah was granted 15 years more of life, talks about a sundial there. If you've ever seen a sundial, what's happening to the shadow? It's always creeping forward, isn't it? Slowly but surely. We sing a song, "Hold to God's Unchanging Hand." And the first verse says, what time is what filled with swift transition. Do you ever feel that about your life? One transition to the next. As John Witt said, life is what happens to you while you're making other plans, isn't it? We sing another song entitled A Beautiful Life. And then I love the refrain of this song. It says, life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go. Indeed, the sun is sinking low on all of our lives. Because sooner or later, we'll all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23 and verse 4. For what is your life? It's swifter than a post. Again, Job says, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. Well, he's not talking about a fence post. Fence posts don't flee away. He's talking about a fleet-footed messenger. Jeremiah uses the same word in Jeremiah 51 and verse 31. It says, one post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another. Do you ever get the feeling sometimes that your life is just moving along too fast and that you have so little control over the things of life? Well, don't feel like the Long Ranger. Job felt that way. In Job 12 and verse 9, he makes this statement, in whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Of course, the answer to that is God. Our lives are in the hands of God. He could take away our life at any moment, and then we would meet eternity. In Psalm 25 and verse 1, it says, Lord, I put my life in your hands. I trust in you, my God, and will not be disappointed. For what is your life? It is as the swift ships. Again, Job says in Job 9 and verse 26 about life and his days, they are passed away as the swift ships. We don't get a chance to look at ships too much here in central Indiana. When we lived in Michigan, from time to time, we would go eat a meal in Port Sanilac. It sits right on the water. And there was a restaurant there on the second story, and you could look out on Lake Huron. And many of the times we would be there, there would be these big ships going by. And, you know, you'd be sitting there and getting ready to order a meal. Oh, there's a ship. And pretty soon when the water and the salad comes, you look up and, where's that ship at? Well, it's gone. And that's exactly a description of our lives. We busy ourselves in establishing a career, raising a family, and those things are fine and dandy. We need to do those kinds of things. And then suddenly we turn around and it's time to sign up for Social Security, lo and behold. Well, what is your life? It is as the eagle hasteth to the prey. Again, Job tells us that our days on earth are as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. Job 9 and verse 26. Visualize in your mind an eagle soaring in the sky. But his eyes are focused there on the ground. And he sees his prey. And then he dives down to catch it. They can dive at over 100 miles an hour. And then whoosh, they grab up the prey and the life is over for the prey. Well, just as the eagle swoops down on its prey, someday death will swoop down for you and me. And then it'll be all over. Did you ever think about that? Really think about it? You know, this might be the last day of my life. Who knows? Well, for what is your life? It is but a few days. Again, Job says in Job 10 and verse 20, are not my days few? Later on in chapter 14 and verse 1, man that is born of woman is of few days. When Jacob was before Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? And he responded, the days of my pilgrimage or 130 years. He lived 17 more years after that, but 130 years, 147 years sounds like a long time, isn't it? But think of how many centuries Jacob has been in the grave. Here's what Jacob said about it. He says, "Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." Ask any senior citizen, myself included, are not your days few? And I would say yes, because it just seems like yesterday that I was envious of my brother because he was getting his driver's license and it was 5 years away for me. Oh man, that's never going to happen. Well, 50 years have gone under the bridge since then. For what are your days? They're like a flower. Again, Job says, "He cometh forth like a flower," describing man as cut down. Last fall, I planted almost 200 daffodils and tulips, and I was very pleased when they came up and bloomed this spring. But you know what they are now? They're nothing but leaves and stems. Those blooms are long gone. The psalmist reports in Psalm 103, verse 15, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall not know it no more." So our lives are much like the blooms on those tulips and daffodils. Here today, gone tomorrow. For what is your life? It is but a handbreadth. David expresses this in Psalm 39 and verse 5. "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before me. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." Stick out your hand. Look how wide it is. That's your life. It's but a handbreadth. It's pretty sobering, isn't it? Remember what Adam was told, "For dust you are, and to dust thou shalt return." I've got my destiny with dust. For what is your life? It is a tale that is told. Again, from the Psalm, verse 90, or chapter 90, verse 9, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away." Pretty soon we'll all fly away. I remember a few years ago, it's probably been at least 10 years ago, I came down to visit Ryan. And we went over to the park in Danville to shoot some baskets. And I was shooting baskets from the three-point line, and I couldn't reach the basket. I'm like, what's going on here? I kept doing it, and I just realized I had lost so much strength and resilience and so forth. I just couldn't get it there without really heaving it up there. That was a real light came on when that happened. I realized how short life is. So think about telling a story or a tale. The tale starts, and then what happens? The tale ends, doesn't it? We tell a story, and soon the story's over. Have you ever strolled through a graveyard? I don't do this very often, but once in a while it's kind of a sobering thing to walk through a graveyard and you read the headstones. You don't know those people from Adam. You see some people lived long lives, some people lived 50-some years. I know there's a park next to Ryan's house in Michigan, and it's dedicated to this family that has all of their years that they were born and the years that they died. One thing I noticed was all of the men died before they were 60 years old. They must have had heart disease or something in that family. But when you stroll through a graveyard and look at a headstone, there's a story behind that, isn't there? There's the story of that person's life. We don't know what the story is, but we need to think about the tale that we will tell someday, because our gravestone will be there for others to see. For what is your life? It is as a moment. That's what Paul described life as. He said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, he speaks of life as our what? Light affliction, which is but for a moment. When I think of that, I think of a flashbulb. Bright flash of light, then it's gone. Very importantly, Paul is comparing his life, the light affliction, versus the eternal weight of glory. How does that balance? Well, it's weighed so heavily in the favor of our eternal weight of glory. Then that's how we need to be living our lives, preparing for eternity. Think about it, it's forever and ever and ever. And you could just keep going on talking about forever. Very importantly, the only time I have to prepare for eternity is when? Right now. The here and the now. Because once death's shadow passes over me, it's going to be too late. There's no do-overs. The rich man and Lazarus. The rich man certainly would like to have had a do-over, wouldn't he? But there was a great gulf fixed and he couldn't pass. So we need to keep Revelation 2 and verse 10 in mind. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Well, since our life is so short, we need to focus on some things. And I'm going to name just six things we need to focus on. First of all, we need to love who needs loving. Now's the time to do that. We, of course, need to love God with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Husbands, we need to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Wives need to love their husbands. Parents need to love their children, and children their parents. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus gave a new commandment to us, that you love one another. How, Jesus? As I have loved you, you also love one another. Very importantly, what's a byproduct of that? By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We need to get busy loving those that we need to love. And we need to get busy forgiving those who need forgiving. Our forgiveness from God hinges on us forgiving others. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 14, for if you do not forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Paul puts it very simply this way, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I need to think about that. All of the sins that I have committed, God has forgiven them. So the least I can do is extend that forgiveness to others. So if there's a relationship in your life that needs to be repaired, repair it now. Now is the time. Well, since we're here for a short time, we need to work what needs working. Solomon said, there is no work in the grave whither thou goest. Now is the time for the work. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those things that we do for the Lord receive little, if any, attention from the world. But the Lord is watching, and the Lord cares. And we are laying up treasure in heaven when we work for the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, when is the day of salvation? It's now. Also remember the words of Jesus, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Why? Because the night is coming when no one can work. Very importantly, we need to think about these things every day and not dismiss them from our minds. Our day in the sun will end sometime. If the Lord so decides to delay his coming, think about 2 centuries from now. At best, my life will be a headstone somewhere in a cemetery, and very few, if any, people will remember anything about me. Well, since we're only here for a short time, we need to say what needs saying. Turn over to James 4, which is the text for our lesson this morning, beginning in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Indeed, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Let us not boast in our arrogance. How much time do I have left? Well, depends on what the Lord is willing to give me. So, if there's things I need to be saying, I need to say them now. I have 4 things here that maybe all of us need to say. Forgive me this wrong. That's what Paul said to the brethren at Corinth. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what the tax collector said in Luke chapter 18. Remember the words of the eunuch, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then the prodigal, I have sinned. Maybe those are words we need to say to God. So if there's something that I need to say, now's the time to say it. Well, since we're only here for a short time, we need to do what needs doing. In our text of James 4, after verse 16, he adds in verse 17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. So the question we all need to ask ourselves, am I laying up treasure in heaven? In that regard, let's remember the Lord's words in Acts 20 and verse 35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We need to not forget to do good and to share with others because God is pleased with those sacrifices. He's pleased with when we lay up treasure in heaven. In Revelation 22 and verse 14, blessed are they who do his commandments that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. I need to busy myself doing the commandments of God. You see, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, isn't it? I can have all the good intentions in the world, but if I don't do good when I know to do good, it's a sin, James says. So very simply, if I have something that needs to be done, I need to get busy doing that. I just don't know how much time I have left. The Nike commercial says what? Just do it. And that's what we need to do. Well, finally, since we're here only for a short time, we need to live a life that's worth living. Paul put it this way in Titus 1 or 2 and verse 12. We're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That sums up pretty much what our lives should be about. In Psalm 90 and verse 12, David said, called on the Lord to teach us to number our days. And we need to number our days, knowing that that number is few. Here's the epitaph that I would love to be able to be inscribed on my headstone and it be true. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be on your headstone and be true? Because if that's true, then I can agree with Paul when he says in the next verse, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but unto all those who have loved his appearing. Well, there's a song that we sang I mentioned earlier, A Beautiful Life. And these are the words to that song. He says, each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. To be a child of God each day, my light must shine along the way. I'll sing his praise while ages roll and strive to help some troubled soul. The only life that will endure is one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God, I'll take my stand. Each day, I'll lend a helping hand. I'll help someone in time of need and journey on with rapid speed. I'll help the sick and poor and weak. Any words of kindness to them speak. While walking down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. And then the refrain goes like this, life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days and I must go. To meet the deeds that I have done where there will be no setting sun. Indeed, life's sun is sinking low. And in just a few more days, all of us will go. So, are you ready to meet the deeds that you have done? If you're not ready to meet those deeds, then we want to encourage you to get your life right with God. If there's anything we can do to assist anyone, we bid you come while we stand and sing.